All right. Glad that you are able to make it here tonight, and I trust that God is going to bless you for making that effort to be here tonight. I put a pretty big hefty set of plugs in this morning on Sunday school and then before the service and then even after the message, and I wanted you to be here. And I'm glad that you have responded to that. You have come and are looking forward to hearing. Let's start off with a little bit of review. Again, on Sunday evenings, we are tracing the footsteps of Jesus Christ through the Gospels and how he went and where he went. And we're trying to follow his steps, but it's not just geographically following where he went, but it's also looking at what he did and how he, you know, when he went to this place, what did he do when he was tempted of Satan? And what did, and how did he do it? And what we're learning is what Jesus did is what we need to do when we come into those temptations, or we need to, when we face this situation, how we need to, the pathway that we need to go. Well, we've made our way, and of course, we're going back through the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and into John as well. And John gives us the most information of Jesus' early years, right after he had done that first recorded miracle of turning the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And from there, it just continues to go on, and he's there. He goes to Jerusalem, and he's been to Jerusalem for a while. And last week, we looked at the pathway that Jesus took. John chapter 3, he's getting ready to meet the need of Nicodemus. You remember the story? The story of Nicodemus. Last week, we were just getting ready to dive into the story of Nicodemus, but there was a pathway there that was very important. And I'm just giving you a little bit of a review so that you understand where we're at tonight. Now remember, why don't we turn there really quickly? We're not going to stay in John chapter 3, but turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. And let's just look at that first verse there and how we look at the pathway that we looked at. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him. Now notice what what he says. He's not asking a question, but he makes a comment. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, this is important, listen up. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why in the world did Jesus answer the way he did? Nicodemus is talking to him about, hey, we know you're a teacher. How is this? You must be. He's not asking a question, but, you know, in a sense, he's almost asking, how do you have authority to do the things that you're doing? We know that only God can do those things. Now, what was really the answer to this situation? He needed to understand that Jesus was who? Jesus was God. But that's not the issue that Jesus dealt with. In fact, he understood that even though he had this peripheral problem, there was something inside of Nicodemus that was a much greater need. And we all know that need to be what? Nicodemus needed Jesus Christ in his life. He wasn't saved. That's the bigger issue. And from there, we looked at the pathway of meeting people's needs, going to the heart of the issue. Last week, we had a whiteboard up here, and we looked, and I drew a big circle on there, and I said, okay, this represents our body, and we can divide it up into all kinds of issues and things that we have. And on the outside, we call those the issues of life, the issues of life. Some people struggle with bitterness. Some people struggle with anger. Some people struggle with pornography. Some people struggle with their entertainment and what they're doing. Some people struggle with and the list goes on and on and on. Maybe the kind of music that they listen to. Maybe their struggles are not being a diligent worker. Or their struggles are not being punctual. And we could just go on and on and on all the issues of life. But what did we notice in all of those issues? What is the stem of all the issues in our life? Every problem that we have stems back to what? Our heart. Look at Jeremiah. What do we know about our hearts? It's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can know it? God knows it. Our hearts. Our hearts. The reason why we have the struggles that we have in our lives is because there's something in our heart that's not right. And we recognized last week that there are three main issues of the heart. Really, there's one big one. A couple of things that stem from that. What's probably the biggest problem in our hearts, and that all sin comes from indirectly? Our pride. We are proud people. And wasn't that the very thing? The reason why Lucifer was kicked out of heaven? Why? Because he was proud. Now, from pride often comes another very root heart issue, and that's the issue of selfishness. You know, that really does come from pride, doesn't it? When we're proud, we feel like we deserve things. I'm selfish. I'm thinking of myself. You know what? Many people's peripheral issues in life come because they're selfish. Selfish people. We live in a selfish society that wants things for themselves. Look what I can get, and I want it now, on demand. I want to be able to have everything at my fingertips. And you know what? The world is doing a pretty good job at getting things right at our fingertips, isn't it? You know what? That's only helping our selfishness and our pride. I think that all of the things in the technology, and I'm not preaching against technology, but I will say this. Technology is not hindering our situation with pride. I think it's only making it greater. Maybe I said that wrong. I think that our technology is catering to our pride and our selfishness, because it's what I want and I want it now, and we really have the opportunity to get it now. And it's just getting faster and faster. Faster and faster to where I can get what I want right now. And then thirdly, again, probably coming from selfishness and pride, but if we look at the three main issues of our heart, we have the third one would be our lusts and desires. Doesn't that make sense that lusts and desires follow after selfishness? If we're selfish, we're looking at our lusts and our desires. What can I get? Which comes from pride. But in a nutshell, we look at these three major issues of our heart, that when we are proud, when we are selfish, when we are lustful and desireful, thinking that we deserve things, what does that lead to? The issues of life. And I want to encourage you to be thinking about that. So last week we really looked at that, and you say, what's part two? Well, to tell you the truth, I think one of my children came to me and said, Daddy, I didn't know that there was a part two. And I said, either did I. I had no intentions of being a part two until the Lord was working through this with me, and I was just thinking through this. And I said, wait a second, we've got to continue on with this issue. I think it's a big issue. So heart issue part two. The pathway to the heart. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, a tremendous story here, an awakening story, an alarming story. I hope that you've gone before the Lord and said, God, would you give me tonight what I need? I need certain things. I need you. I need help. And you don't even know what you need. But this is a passage that we need to look at. Acts chapter 5, and I want to look at the first few verses here. In fact, why don't you follow along with me as I read this passage, okay? Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that thou have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. God, I pray right now that you would be with us and help us, Lord, not to look to the person behind us or in front of us or to the side of us, but Lord, in our own hearts. And God, would you show us our own hearts? Would you show us the peripheral things? God, would you show us the seriousness of all of these issues? Lord, we need your power. We need your strength right now. I need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at three issues this evening. First of all, I want you to look at the issue of life. The issues of life. Now, last week, the issues of life were a secondary thing. And by the way, we're using Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, which says what? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, where do the issues of life come from? That verse tells us. The issues of life come from where? The heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Solomon is telling us, keep thy heart. Guard thy heart. Keep with all keeping. That's really what the Hebrew is telling us there. You keep with all keeping. If everything you have, you guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Scriptures speak of our heart as the things that we think of. You guard your thoughts. You know what? What we think is coming straight from our heart. Keep your thoughts. The things that you think about. You know, our treasures and our values, oftentimes referred to in the Bible, that's our heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are the things you value and treasure? You know, that verse, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart. Guard the things that you're valuing and treasuring. What are you treasuring this evening? What's your treasure? You better guard your thoughts. You better guard your values and treasures. You better guard your emotions. The heart oftentimes is referred to and explained by our emotions. The feeling of sadness. He was sad in his heart. He was happy in his heart. His heart rejoiced. And we have feelings. But folks, can feelings lead you astray? We need to be very careful and we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our feelings because our feelings will lead us astray. If you rely upon your own feelings, we need to be very careful about our feelings. We need to be very careful about our decisions, how we make decisions and our will. Why? Because these are our heart. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, with all keeping, guard your heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Every other problem is going to come from a heart that is not kept, not keeping your emotions, not keeping your decisions, not keeping your values and treasures, not keeping your thoughts. If you're not careful with your heart, the issues of life are going to come out. I want to look first of all in this passage, though, at the issues of life, what comes out. We're going to go to the heart issue in just a little bit, but what came out in this story? Let's get back to the passage. I want to read the first four verses again. Go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now I want you to go back to Acts chapter 4 in the last several verses. Actually, look at verse 31. This is after some great preaching that some men had done, and some great things came from it. Well, there was a prayer meeting that happened in the verses right before this. And look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were, all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed, was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now that makes sense why in chapter 5 and verse 1 then, Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing. Now what was the issue of life? Now remember, we have the heart issues and we have the issues of life. Look up here. Let me say that again. Watch me illustrate that. We have the heart issues and we have the issues of life. We're starting here with the issues of life. What were the issues of life with Ananias and Sapphira? What did God deal with in this passage? You see, the issue of life here was hypocrisy. And that's what God dealt with. This couple was living a lie. Now, what was the lie that was given here? They were pretending to be somebody that they were not. What were the good, if I can say, quote unquote, good Christians doing? What did we just read about in the last few verses of Acts chapter 4? Now, had God really worked through the congregation? Yes, God was working. They had seen thousands of people saved. They had seen God do great miracles, do great things. And then they got together and had a prayer meeting and they saw God was really setting the world on fire. And these people were bold and excited about it. And as people got saved, honestly, this is not a passage trying to tell us that we need to sell all of our possessions and give. Honestly, I believe these people thought that Jesus Christ was going to return soon. They were living at a time when they thought, Jesus is coming back. They were not, they thought, hey, we are going to meet people's needs because Jesus is coming back any day. We want to take care of each other. And that was the right thing to do. And they took care of each other. I mean, these people, they were not being foolish with their land. They said, Jesus is coming. What do I to do with this? I'm going to sell this land and I'm going to distribute because I want to meet the needs of my brothers and sisters. And so they did that. And I'll tell you what, it was a tremendous time in history where the church was one in nature, one in character, one in everything, and they made that way. I don't believe that we take out of this that we need to sell all of our lands and sell everything. We don't know when Christ is going to return, but I do say this, we can take from it. We need to be a blessing to other people. Now, the good Christians that were here, and again, I say good, none of us are good. We learned that this morning. But these people that were on fire, that wanted to please the Lord, they were being selfless. And what they were doing, they were seeing people that had needs. They say, you know what, so-and-so, they don't have a job right now. They have some needs. Why don't we, husband or wife, why don't we sell what we have and let's collect that money and let's give it to them so that they can have, so they can make it, so they can have food, so that they can raise their family, so they can live because Jesus Christ is coming back any day and let's help them out. And so these people did it. And other people, they saw a need over here and they sold their possessions and they got rid of some other things and said, listen, why do I need this? Because Jesus is coming back and I want these people, I want their needs met. And that's what the church was doing. People were selling their possessions, selling their land, selling the things that were special to them. They were getting rid of them. They were bringing it to the apostles and say, listen, you know what? We're bringing this to you. And it might not have them seeing an exact need. They were saying, hey, you know, Peter, we have this possession here. We sold it. We're giving the money to you. And now you give it to whoever is needed. You make sure that it's taken care of. Well, this was a great thing. And then on top of all that, in the last two verses of Acts chapter 4, we see this man Barnabas, who was the son of consolation, that boy, he was just a blessing to people. And he sold his land, and he sold it, and he brought the money. And here we have Ananias and Sapphira now. And they're sitting here watching their brothers and sisters do all these great things. And what can we conclude from the passage in Acts chapter 5 that was going through their minds? If we don't do something like this, we're going to be left out. People are not going to look at us in the same way. We've got to do something. We want these people to think that we are part of this group as well. And so what they did was they got their possessions, they got their land, and what they did is, or whatever it was, it says they sold a possession, verse 1. Now they kept back part of it. For sake of ease of numbers, let's just say that they had $1,000 They sold something, they received $1,000. Now, according to verse 2, it says they kept back part of the price. We don't know how much. Did they keep back $100? Did they keep back $500? Did they keep back $900? We don't know. But what it says is they sold it for a certain amount, let's say $1,000. They kept back part of it, and then they brought the rest. Let's just say that they kept $100 and they gave $900. Now, I don't know, and we don't know. So don't take it and say, Pastor said they gave $900. No, I don't know. We have no idea. It says that they kept back part and they gave the rest. What they did was they, again, let's just use the $1,000 and they gave $900. They kept back $100 because they, boy, we've always wanted to go on this little vacation. We're going to keep this back. Whatever they wanted to do and whatever they wanted to spend, they kept it back. But what they did, it says here, it says that they kept it to themselves. Did you notice that in verse 2? It says, his wife also being privy to it. Okay, what does that tell us? Okay, so Ananias knew it, and he talked about it with his wife. Was this a planned thing? Yeah, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't just something that on the spur of the moment they decided, well, we'll do this. No, they planned this. His wife being privy to it, that means that she knew it, they talked about it, but no one else knew about it. And so they got their 900, and they came in, and they laid it there at Peter's feet, the apostles' feet, and they said, here, we sold our possession, and here are the proceeds. Peter, whoever, do with it as you please. Please, we want to be a part of this. The good Christians were doing good things. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be a part of the group. Now, in verses 3 and 4, we see that they had lied. Look at verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Look at verse 4. The end of the verse, he says, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now again, I ask you, I already asked you one time, what was their lie? Now, no one else knew that they had kept back part of the money. And verses 3 and 4 seem to indicate that they had told both God and their fellow man that they were giving everything. Because it said they lied unto the Holy Ghost, they had lied unto God. And of course, they also had lied unto men. So what we have here is the issue of pretense. They had pretended to give everything, but they had kept back. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it wrong that they had kept any money back? The scriptures does not teach that they were wrong. There was no command. These people were not under a direct command of God. I want you to do this. No, these people of their own will and of their own accord were seeing the need and they wanted to be a blessing. So could Ananias and Sapphira sell a possession for $1,000 and keep back $100? They could. There was nothing wrong with that, and they were not condemned for doing it. Please don't get confused. Why? So God requires that they gave, you know, every bit of money. That's not what happened. He said that they lied. They were being deceitful. They were being pretenders. There was not an issue that they had done. I mean, notice the words that Peter uses in verse 4. He says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? Peter is acknowledging, this was your money. And Peter does not understand. He said, this was your money. He says, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? And what he's saying there is that there was nothing wrong. You could do with this money what you wanted. But then the question came, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Okay, this was a premeditated thing here. Why have you conceived this in your heart? And then he makes this bold statement. You have not. Even though they had lied to men, he was saying the bigger issue is not your deceit to men. He said your bigger issue is you have been deceitful to God. Now let me ask you a question. Did God know their hearts and did God know everything that transpired? Yes, but they were trying to be pretenders. They were pretending to be someone or something that they were not. Now let's leave this story and get very practical here. You know, I mentioned this morning. Everybody needs to be listening to this because this is a big issue. Here and about. Our churches are filled with people who are pretending to be something that they are not. Probably most people know what they should be, but they're choosing not to be. Let me ask you a question this evening. It's a very simple question. It's a question that you don't have to answer to me. But keep in mind, as you answer it to yourself, you're answering it to God. Here's the question. Are you real? Are you real? Men, is your suit and tie real? I think you know what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about the physical suit and the tie. I'm talking about what you appear to be. Ladies, is your smile and your greeting, is it real? And I wonder, what is behind the tie and the smile? Now I wonder what the scene of Ananias and Sapphira would have been like. They had met over here, and Ananias and Sapphira, and they said, listen, this is a good deal. Let's go ahead and sell this possession for $1,000. And here, let's keep the 100. Now again, let's stop the scene. Was it a blessed thing that they were given $900? Or whatever they gave to the good cause. Again, there was nothing wrong with this. But already the problem, they're being secretive about this. Like, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep back 100 and we're going to give 900. But I'll tell you what, let's not tell anybody else. Let's not let them know. Let's pretend like we're like everybody else. And we're giving everything. They're going to think that we're sacrificial. They're going to think like we're fitting in. They're going to think like we're excited about the things that are going on. And all the while, you know, we'll still have $100 to go do what we want to. Listen, let's do that. And Sapphira says, yeah, that's a good plan. Okay, make sure you don't tell anybody. Let's do this alone. And so, you know, Sapphira goes and does her thing. And Ananias, he gets the money. He gets the 900. And he goes there. And he's standing there. And you wonder what's going through his mind because he says, Peter, we have this possession. And we sold it. And we got a good profit. And here it is. And he lays it out. Now let's step back, Ananias, for just a moment. Ananias, in our illustration is, he's got his suit on, he's got his tie on, he's got his dress shoes shined up, and he's looking nice. He's got his hair parted and combed over, and he's looking good. And everybody there is saying, oh yes, praise the Lord, we've got another couple here that's on fire for the Lord. We got another couple here that wants to do right. We've got another couple here that, boy, they really care about their brothers and sisters. We got another couple that can't wait to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, look at these. And behind the tie and behind the suit and inside those shoes, there's a man that's standing there. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Ananias knew the reality of his own heart? I do. Did he know he was lying? Of course he did. Of course he knew. He knew. We have evidence that he knew. I mean, he planned the thing. How did he have the nerve to do that? But see, everybody else was saying, look at, you know, this is a godly man. This is a godly lady. Look at what they're doing. And he let it happen. He let it happen and he smiled and he laid it there. And you know, and he thought that everything was going to be okay. And he thought that he was going to walk out. Peter had supernatural wisdom that God had to give him. Because Peter looked at him and said, Ananias, how you had this and it was yours, and then you bought it and it was the prophet was yours. Why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And what would have gone on in Ananias' heart right then? What do you think was going through his life? What about you? Let me ask you a question. Are you truly walking with the Lord? Are you truly walking with the Lord? Are you true? Do you love the Lord? Does he mean the world? We sing the song, Jesus is all the world to me. I want to tell you something. Sometimes when I sing that, my heart smites me, whatever word you use. I tell you what, it hits me hard. And I say, is Jesus all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all? Oh, folks, we show up sometimes to church and we know better. Like Ananias, we know better. And we smile and we look nice and we come and we say, oh, how I love Jesus. And folks, some of us, we feel rotten inside because we know we're lying. Folks, this is a tough thing here. This is a serious thing. You've probably heard me make a statement that probably you're alarmed at and you might not even like. And maybe in the outset you kind of disagree with it. Have you heard me and do you recall me saying recently that much of the church seems dead? Have you heard me say that? Do you like that statement? Well, I hope you don't like it. Now, you don't have to agree outwardly, but do you disagree with it? Now, I'm not all-knowing. I am not God. But what I see, what I perceive, for the most part, and I'm not talking in the new evangelical circles. I'm not talking in the out circles. I'm not talking about the churches that have the bands on stage and do all this. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the good ones. I'm talking about the conservative ones. I'm talking about the ones that they still wear the ties and wear the suit coats. I'm talking about the ones where the ladies wear the dresses and all this stuff. I'm talking about the ones where they use the hymnal and they preach out and everybody carries the word. And by the way, praise the Lord that we do that. But I want to tell you something. Just because we carry our King James Version under our shoulders, and just because we're wearing a suit and tie, and just because we're wearing a skirt, and just because we're singing out of the hymnal, and just because we're doing all the things we're doing, does not mean that we're real. And the reason why our church is dead, and I believe that, I'm not saying every church, but by and large, the church is dead. And the reason why we can't do anything hardly to get a visitor come and to stick for a couple services. The reason why when we go door to door and we're not seeing people saved, and the reason why we're not seeing people won in the workplace, the reason is because we are a bunch of pretenders that want to look good, but deep inside there's a heart issue. I believe it with all of my heart that we are living in a day where there's people that are filling the pews at Faith Bible Church that like to come and they like to smile and they like to say, praise the Lord, we have a conservative church, and praise the Lord, we still sing the hymns, and praise the Lord, we still use this Bible, and praise the Lord, we still do this. But deep inside, they are not walking with Christ. They are not even having their devotions. They don't have a love for Him. They're not soul winning. They're not doing any handing out of tracts. They're not walking with Jesus. They're not singing songs through the day. They're not studying their Bible. And they're living their lives. But they want everybody to think when they show up to church that things are right. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's why our church is dead. And Ananias and Sapphira were living this lie. And folks, it wasn't just a lie to people. It was a lie to God. You know what? You can lie to people and we will never know it. I can point to each one of you and I can say, you know what? You can trick me and I can think that you're a godly man. I can think that you're a godly lady. And you can do all kinds of things to prove it. Ananias and Sapphira did. But we see here that that does not mean that it's real. Were they real? They were not. They were pretenders. They were pretenders. What about you? Are you truly walking with the Lord? What's the truth about your fellowship with God? Are you living a lie? And by the way, this is serious stuff. If you don't believe me, look at chapter 5 and look at verse 4. Verses 4 and 5. Whilst it remains, was it not in thine heart? Was it? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Let me ask you a question. Was it a serious thing? Is it a serious thing to be a pretender at Faith Bible Church? It is. And it's killing us. Can I step back and say, you say, preacher, you're really fired up about this. You're really, it almost seems like you're upset at us. I am preaching to myself. So as we're all in the same boat, let's keep going. This is serious stuff. Let me ask you a question. What is the truth about your heart? What's the truth about your heart? You see, that's really the bigger issue. The issues of life, the hypocrisy, that's an issue of life, and we need to address it. But let me ask you, what about your heart? And that brings us to the second point. The second point. We have the issues of life, and we have the issues of the heart. Now notice in verse 3, what had Satan filled? But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine? You see, this is the problem. Satan had got into him. You know, and I don't know, but some of them suggested that maybe Ananias had an issue that he had never gotten right, and Satan got a foothold in there and it was continuing on. I don't know if that's the case, but I know one thing. Satan filled his heart and he was continuing on in sin. Very important that we get sin right in our lives. But we see Satan had filled his heart. Look at verse 4. Where did the issues of life come from according to this passage? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Where did this issue start with Ananias and Sapphira? When they were back here in their own little hut thinking about what they were going to sell. Where did it come from? Their heart. Why? And that's right. Roger's right. Where did that come from? It came from their heart. And what was in their heart? Why did they do this in the first place? I believe the first issue with them is they were very selfish. They were selfish. Why didn't they tell anybody else? Because they were proud. They were using their pride to cover up their selfishness. They wanted to keep back a portion of it. They wanted to take a vacation or buy something else. They didn't want anybody else to know, and that was their pride. This was their heart issue. Let me ask you a question. I already asked you that question in my notes. What was their heart issue? It was selfishness and it was pride. Folks, the reason why Ananias and Sapphira had issues with hypocrisy was because they had issues with selfishness and pride. That issues with their own heart. What about you? You have issues with pride? You have issues with selfishness? You have issues with lust and desires? Let me ask you a question. Do you identify any life issues, the peripheral issues? Do you have any issues? Bitterness, anger, jealousy, maybe issues with what you do with your time? All kinds of things. I already know the answer. We do. We all have issues. Issues of life. Why do you have issues of life? Because you have heart issues. Heart issues of pride, selfishness, and lust and desire. What do we need to do? Do we need to deal with the hypocrisy? Yes, but I'll tell you first, we need to deal with the pride and the selfishness and the lust and the desires. What are your thoughts like? You see, you can hide your thoughts. But I'm asking you personally, what are your thoughts like? What do you value and treasure? What are your emotions? What do you feel? How do you go about making your decisions? What's your will? What do you decide? Who is the focus of your life? Really quickly, let's look at some verses in Psalms and Proverbs. Go back to Psalm. Keep your finger here in Acts. Folks, this is a serious issue, and it's going to get more serious here in just a moment. I want you to forget your watches and forget the time. We need to deal with this, okay? So just forget it all. Go to Psalm. And let's look at Psalm chapter 10. Right now, we're dealing with heart issues. I want to read you some verses of what God has to say about your heart issue. Psalm, let's look at Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, what does it say? What does it say about a person that's proud? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Let me ask you a reverse question. Is God in all your thoughts? Do you know what the conclusion is if God is not in all your thoughts? Anybody have a suggestion? You're proud. Do you realize when we not acknowledge Him and Him directing our paths, when we lean onto our own understanding, guess what? We're proud. We're proud because we think that we know. It's pride. It's pride in our lives. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Turn to Proverbs, and we'll stay here in Proverbs for just a few verses. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 11. Look in verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh. Okay, so we have this issue of pride. When pride cometh, what comes? When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. What does God say if we're a proud person is going to come into our life? Shame. You know, I could ask you, do you have a lot of shame in your life? Are you ashamed of some things that have taken place with your family and things? I want to tell you something. You better check your heart issue, because the reason why we have shame is because there's pride. There's pride there. Proverbs 29:23. You know this verse. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride. I ask you a question, where's your heart? Are you a proud person? Are you a proud person? What about selfishness? Philippians chapter 2. Pass your spot in Acts and go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2, he says, fulfill you my joy, make my joy complete. How do we make his joy complete? That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Let nothing, not a thing, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, what does God's word say about being selfish? There's no place in a Christian's life that you'd be selfish. You're not supposed to look at all on your own life. You're supposed to look towards other people and meeting other people's needs, not your own. You know what? The sin of pride and the sin of selfishness, it all comes from the same place. It comes from the devil himself. The devil himself in Isaiah, many, many times, chapter 14, says, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this. And God kicked Lucifer out of heaven. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us that all the things, well, let's turn there really quickly. You're almost there in Philippians. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. The issues that we're dealing with. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of who? It's of the world. It's of the world. Friends, I want to tell you something. There's an issue with our pride and our selfish and our lusts and our desires. They're problems. I asked you the question, what about your heart? Now, we're dealing with the peripheral issue of hypocrisy. We're dealing about the heart issue of pride, selfishness, and lust and desire. And I ask you the question, what about your heart? Now, you can say, oh, praise the Lord that He did not make me expose my heart every time I show up to Faith Bible Church. But I ask you a question. What if your heart was expressed to all of us here tonight? What would it be like if, as you came into church, you had a big cardboard heart, you know, strapped to your chest, and as you walked in, we could look in and we could see the issues that lie in your heart? I wonder how many of us would show up. Now, I said us. That does not mean that I would. My friends, I'm guessing that none of us would be here. Would you agree? Now, you take what you just agreed to. Now, maybe you say, I didn't say anything. But let's say you agreed. Let me ask again. How many of you would show up if your heart could be exposed? All right, no takers. But you're here. Now, that's a good thing. Do you see where we're going here with this? And our response ought to be like Isaiah's. Woe is me. Woe is me. What am I doing? How dare? How dare? I'm a pretender before God. Now be careful not to look at your brother or sister behind you and say, why are they here? Nobody raised their hand. I didn't either. When we started, you looked at Ananias like a piece of dirt. You know what, folks? We are just the same as Ananias and Sapphira. Because we cover up with our suit and our tie and our dress. We cover up and we hide under our Bibles and our big smiles and we show up to church. Many of us have a lot of issues. Now, can I stop and pull out of the message that I'm preaching and saying, listen, folks, I'm not telling you not to come to church, and I'm not saying you're doing the right thing. We are all sinners. And hallelujah, God loves us all, doesn't He? I want you to know that the whole message is not, it's just some, no, praise the Lord, God loves us and God knows our hearts and God still loves us. Isn't that amazing? And He still wants us to show up here. But what He really wants is for you to show up here and get some things right and not go home the same pretender. You see, God is not going to probably smite us here tonight and kill us. Are you thankful for that? He may, but He may not. But He may tomorrow. But let's not presume upon God's mercy and grace. Folks, if you're here tonight, you recognize, you know what? I do my best. I try. I love the Lord and I want to do right. No, I'm not perfect. Okay, maybe we're not as pretending, but I want to tell you something. It's not good enough just to keep going. What's good enough is get it right so that you can be real. I'm not talking about being perfect. Let's stop being pretenders, though. Let's stop being pretenders. Now, again, I want to say this, because no one raised their hand, and because of the conclusion, it doesn't mean that there are not sincere people here. I want you to understand that, because I know there are sincere people here. But the point of the matter is let's take care of some hypocrisy, but let's really take care of some heart issues. If there's pride, my friend, let's get rid of it. Let's cast it out. Let's go to the Lord and say, God, I'm a proud person. God, would you forgive me? It's the sin of the devil, and I don't want any part of it. God, would you forgive me? And I'll tell you what, he will. It's called confession. You know, it's time that we start saying the same thing that God says. Because God, if God were to reveal our hearts, he knows, just like the illustration, God can see what's on the big heart, cardboard heart. Confession is saying the same thing about it. The issue is not what other people think. The issue is what God knows. And that's really what I want to get at here tonight, is what God knows. What does God know? And true confession is agreeing with what God already knows. See, God already knows, man and sir, that you have a problem with pride. God already knows it, so what ought you to admit? God, I've got a heart issue. I've got a pride issue. Ladies, God already knows that you're selfish. All of us, God already knows that we have lusts and desires. God already knows it. It's time for us to kneel before the throne of grace and say, God, you already know my heart, and I want to agree with you about it. And stop being a pretender. The last point that we look at here is not a big point, but it's a serious one. The importance of the issues. The issues of life and the issues of the heart. Let me ask you a question. Were these issues big? How do we know? Because we read verses 5 and 11. Why was this done? And why did God use this in the early church when so much was happening? Why was it brought out? Why is it brought out tonight? I'll tell you why it's brought out. Look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Notice, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Look at verse 11. This is after his wife dies. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Do you know what the rightful response to this message is tonight? Fear upon us from being a pretender. Fear from not getting our heart issues taken care of. You say, Pastor, I'm not a pretender, but I do have some pride. Brother and sister, you better be afraid if you don't get that pride taken care of. Will it be hypocrisy? I don't know. Could be bitterness. The issues of life. Brothers and sisters, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Our response must be fear. Do you care about what you've heard tonight? Do you care about your hypocrisy? Do you care about pride and selfishness? Maybe I should say, do you care about your life? Father, what an important thing that we look at. Oh God, that we would be real. That we would be real. Real before you. As Peter said, the issue wasn't about people. The issue was about God. Lord, I pray that we would not lie to the Holy Ghost, that we would not lie to God. Of course, you know the truth. The issue is in our hearts tonight as we sit here in our pews. God, not that we declare our hearts to the rest of to this church. That's not the point. That's not what God is asking. No, what God is asking is that each of us, we confess our sin to Him, and that we agree with Him, and that we get our hearts right with Him. Lord, may we not lie to You tonight, but Lord, may we agree with You that tonight we would confess our sin and know that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, help us with our heart. Help us with our heart issues. Thank You for what You've done now, Lord. Just as we are, would You take us? Would You heal us? Would You cleanse us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.